broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York.
Bloomberg 1130
to Washington, D.C.
Bloomberg 991
to Boston.
Bloomberg 1061
to San Francisco.
Bloomberg 960
to the country.
Sirius XM Channel 119
and around the globe.
The Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com.
This is Bloomberg Surveillance.
From New York City, this is Bloomberg Surveillance for our audience worldwide. Alongside Tom Keene, I'm Jonathan Ferro, live on Bloomberg Radio. Your economic indicators, of course, are brought to you, as always, by Commonwealth Financial Network, putting independent advisors and their clients first for 40 years. Learn more about the firm whose only business interest is yours. Commonwealth, doing the right thing since 1979. Visit commonwealth.com. We were meant to be having a quiet week. Of course, we have not had one Monday through Tuesday so far, but the economic data, that slate, the calendar, is pretty light. 10 a.m. Eastern, we get JOLTS, job openings in the United States of America. Then the next major data point, really, initial jobless claims coming up a little bit later in the week. They will come to you on Thursday, and then on Friday, some PPI figures ahead of next week's CPI readings, Tom.
I agree. It's a little light, and maybe it's a good thing. We need a breather from the economic data.
I will say the thing that you perhaps should be watching a little bit later is when we hear from Mr. Bullard.
Exactly.
Of the St. Louis Fed.
More like, now what? I mean, it feels ages ago since the Fed meeting in the Fed press conference.
It's not even a week.
It's like a week or whatever.
It's not even a week.
An exhausting 3 weeks ago. Let's get smarter. Particularly, I want to focus on the American economy with all the different good conversations that we've had. This is a wonderful hour. Stephen Major, HSBC Secretary Summers, joined the gentleman from Morgan Stanley, their chief economist. Megan Greenough, the Harvard Kennedy, a senior fellow there. Megan, I looked at the bond market yesterday and it screamed economic slowdown. Is contraction the right word forward?
So I don't think so in terms of the overall economy, not in the next year at least, but there are contractions going on in parts of the U.S. economy and mainly the manufacturing sector. So I do think we are seeing a manufacturing recession. The real question is, does that necessarily mean we'll go into an overall economic recession? We didn't in 2015, 2016. I will say that a trade war, though, just bites even more on the manufacturing sector. So I do think a lot of it will come down to trade, and it doesn't look like we're going in the right direction.
Does a trade war affect service sector and our intellectual economic capital?
It affects it, but much less so and much less directly than it would the goods producing sector. So, yes, but I'm not as focused on that. I'm much more focused on the impact on manufacturing. And services, you know, have been doing much better, both in the U.S. and in every other developed country. But the last services ISM data was actually pretty weak. So we shouldn't be too complacent on that front.
You've got a great international feel with your academics out of England and your work with Manulife over the years out of Canada as well. Is the dollar strong? I mean, within all your experience of putting together actual forecasts, is it actually a strong dollar and a strong dollar policy?
So the dollar is strong, particularly if you consider fundamentals, and mainly I'm referring to a trade deficit and a budget deficit. So over the medium term, there should be downward pressure on the dollar. The problem is that the dollar's pretty strong, and largely because the U.S. is kind of the cleanest shirt in the dirty laundry basket in terms of potential growth. So the U.S., as much as we're worried about a recession here, the data is looking better than it is in Europe and Japan, for example. So that's propping the dollar up. And then also all of these headlines around trade actually only serve to strengthen the dollar. So I do think that the dollar is relatively strong.
Megan, what actually changes with this currency manipulator designation from the Treasury? What changes?
So nothing at all in the short term, really. It's mainly just kind of the White House stopping its feet in a tantrum. But, I mean, if we try to take it forward and think about, well, what happens from here, the IMF has already put out a report saying that it doesn't think that China's manipulating its currency. So it seems unlikely that the IMF is really going to cooperate on this one. So this seems like a blocked avenue, which means that the administration could try other things. One thing is more tariffs, but it's sort of hard to threaten something you've already done anyhow. And another thing is a currency intervention. And so I think that's the big risk. And looking at currency interventions, the ones that we've had in this century have all been cooperative and internationally coordinated. This would be very different. And currency interventions only really work when there is international cooperation on it. What's more, if we're trying to weaken the dollar relative to the renminbi, well, we can't really buy the renminbi. We can't buy the CNY. It's controlled by the government. So how do you buy a currency that's not for sale? You can't really. We could try to kind of buy a trade weighted basket, but then we're also buying Canadian dollars and, you know, Mexican pesos. Well, we don't really want to do that. So we don't have any options.
But Megan, very quickly here, do we have the mass, almost the weight to put that many billions of dollars to protect a dollar? I mean, I just don't.
Yes.
Do we have the mass?
Not really.
Yeah.
You know, so the ESS has about $100 billion in it, and not all of that is useful. Some of it is SDRs, which we can't really use to buy currencies. That's more to lend to other countries. So if you actually look at what's useful, it's about half of that. And then the Fed can also contribute. And in the past, it typically has, but I don't see the Fed jumping in here. One thing that could happen is, you know, the president could declare a state of emergency and demand that the Fed print money. And then I think we're getting into a whole bunch of challenges. But I don't think that's likely.
That'll keep us employed. Megan Green, thank you so much with Harvard Kennedy School this morning. John, my people, after careful communication, I'm pleased to announce I'll be doing the real yield. While you're away on your...
Are you going to anchor the show? Exciting.
My people talk to your people. And
very
I guess
cool.
They moments ago came to an agreement.
Are you doing that this week or next week?
Your vacation is... Michael Barr, his vacation is so long. I don't know which day it is. It may be both for all I know.
Well, that's...
It's extraordinary.
I feel privileged.
I got goosebumps.
The truth is,
the
Michael, he's been after my show for so long now. And he's hoping that I don't come back.
The communication between our two entourages is just extraordinary.
I won't be here for the next three Fridays.
Oh, really?
I'm away for the next three Fridays.
What is that about?
That is a European holiday. And now for the news from New York City is Michael Barr.
Jonathan, Tom, thank you very much. President Trump plans to head to El Paso, Texas tomorrow to offer support for the 22 people killed in Saturday's mass shooting at a Walmart. In Dayton, Ohio, even more questions remain about what spurred the suspected shooter to target a popular nightlife stretch in an attack that left the suspect's sister among the nine victims killed. Defense Secretary Mark Esper is striking a cautious note this morning about North Korea. Talking to reporters on a flight to Tokyo, Esper was asked about the fourth North Korean short-range missile launch in 2 weeks.
While we take these launchings seriously, we monitor them. We try and understand what they're doing and why. We also need to be careful not to overreact and not to get ourselves in a situation where diplomacy is closed off.
A United Airlines pilot will make a court appearance in Scotland today. Another pilot has been released after both pilots were arrested over the weekend for allegedly being over the legal alcohol limit. It all started from a Saturday morning flight from Glasgow to Newark. Before they even got on the plane, some people said they thought they smelled alcohol on their breath. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok on Twitter. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Tom.
Michael Barr, thanks so much. Time now for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Report. Here's John Stanshaw.
Tom, high drama at Citi Field. The Red Hot Mets beat the Marlins 6-2 to open the doubleheader. Med Rosario, Jeff McNeil with home runs to support Jacob DeGrom, who moved to 500 at 7-7. And the Mets reached 500, first time since May. And then in the nightcap, Mets trailed Miami 4-2 in the seventh inning. J.D. Davis homered, so did Michael Conforto. And then Pete Alonso to give them a 5-4 victory. A doubleheader sweep gives Mickey Callaway's team 11 wins in the last 12 games.
Striving towards our goal. You know, I don't think the guys have ever wavered on that. You know, as tough as it's been as sometimes, they've always come every single day to accomplish our main goal, and we're getting closer. Still have a long, long way to go, but it's fun. The fans are absolutely amazing out there, and hopefully we'll be selling out every game for the next 2 months and do something really special.
Mets are over 500, first time since they were 16-15. Yankees hit 5 home runs. They have set a major league record, 32 home runs in one visiting ballpark, 32 in only 8 games in Baltimore. They won 9-6, their 6th straight win and 13th in a row at Camden Yards. Mike Tauchman continues to deliver. He went yard twice. Also, Austin Romine, Brett Gardner, and rookie Mike Ford. His blast in the 8th inning snapped a 6-all tie. Jonathan Villar hit for the cycle for the Orioles. The Jets have acquired guard Alex Lewis from Baltimore. Defenseman Kevin Shattenkirk, set free by the Rangers, is signed with Tampa Bay. With the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stashower. Tom?
John Stashower, thank you so much. The president, very active on Twitter today. Finally, in the last 30 minutes, he begins to speak of China. Massive amounts of money from China and other parts of the world is pouring into the United States. For reasons of safety, investment, and interest rates, we are in a very strong position. Companies are also coming to the U.S. in big numbers, a beautiful thing to watch. And he goes on to say, as they've learned in the last 2 years, our great American farmers know that China will not be able to hurt them. And he continues forward from there. We'll have much more. The president on American international economics. Stay with us. This is Bloomberg.
Bloomberg Surveillance is brought to you by Withum, a forward-thinking, technology-driven advisory and an accounting firm helping clients be in a position of strength in today's modern business landscape. Visit Withum.com to learn more.